Well, here we are. Non-essential retail back open. The pub's starting to at least serve food outside. Businesses slowly coming out of lockdown. And to talk about what it means for businesses as we head back towards normality, I'm joined on the line by Alex Graham from CKLG. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. So how are things for businesses at the moment? It's still a difficult time for them, isn't it? And you know, some of them not quite able to be back up at full capacity. So where do they go from here over the next few months?
It's the best thing. I mean, because some businesses have fared quite well. Others have been affected far more than others. And it's then some of those businesses, such as the hospitality, have been affected quite significantly and are only just starting to open up in, say, the non-essential retail. So one of the sort of things to sort of those businesses to remember is the need to be able to sort of consider opening up, might need to open up gradually. So the furlough scheme, flexi furlough, is extended up to September. So it's the ability to start being able to bring back staff on a gradual manner, dependent upon the level of trade that those businesses can open up with, because some of them may not be able to open up to full capacity straight away. For example, there's a lot of talk in the media about pubs being only able to open up in the gardens. Not everyone's got a garden to open up in and things like that. And not every business is going to be up to full capacity straight away. So it's taking those government schemes that are there to actually consider how much do you need the staff back? How long is it going to take for you to get up to full speed? And to gradually use those schemes to enable you to sort of build up trade dependent upon your sort of specific circumstances.
So flexi furlough, that is you can bring people back on reduced hours and some of their salary will be picked up by the government. So they're on their normal wage, you pay some of it, the government pay the rest. Is that, have I got that right?
Yeah, so when the scheme first came out, it was kind of like you're either furloughed for a period or you weren't, and now it's a case that you could bring someone back, say if they normally do 40 hours a week, you could bring them back for 20 and the government will then sort of pick up within limits on the other side of it. So you can then go, actually we haven't got enough trades to open up fully and bring everyone back, so actually we can bring people back gradually, and that hopefully can help businesses to actually start opening up again.
Okay, and what else, what other measures should be helping the system at the moment?
So some of the other things to sort of consider from especially the hospitality businesses is understanding the reduction that has been extended for the VAT rate. So that's been maintained, being reduced down at 5% up to the end of September. So as those businesses start to trade again, it does mean that having that reduced rate of VAT can help with their margins to get back up and running, especially if they do have reduced levels of trade in the next few months as those sort of businesses start to open up. And then that gradual move back to 20% is going to change from October to March, going up to 12.5% and then going back sort of to normality next year. So hopefully some of those businesses have got a little bit of breathing space and leeway with that little VAT reduction to try and help them trade through for the next year. And one other point on VAT is a lot of businesses had deferred VAT last year when lockdown first came in, and that was able to be deferred initially up till March this year, and then the government then sort of said, actually we can spread, you businesses can then spread the repayment of that deferral over the next year. Now one of the things that's coming in is that businesses now need to act now to do something about that. So they either need to pay all back that VAT deferral in full, or need to go onto their sort of online government gateway accounts and actually request to extend that, which needs to be done by the end of June, because if people just ignore it and nothing's done by the end of June, then HMRC will then start putting penalties on that, I think, as a way of trying to encourage people, actually, we've tried to be generous, but we want you to now at least do something and act on this.
Right. On the subject of paying stuff back, some of those early bounce back loans, am I right in thinking that some of those are now going to start and fall due for repayment?
Yes, there was a 12-month window where the government was basically picking up the interest payments on those. So dependent upon where people took them out. So some people took those out very early on, then those repayments would be starting to come in. If people took them out toward later on in the period, then that'll obviously be later. There are some rules in there about being able to have certain time limits of having extended deferrals, but you can only do that sort of once. So people need to start thinking about those things may, the cash flow implications of those may start to, are likely to kick in sometime over the next year for anyone.
Because it was kind of the plan when those were first introduced back a year ago, that by this time a year later, things would be back to normal and they'd be in a position to repay. But a lot of people, you know, the doors are still pretty much shut.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There are other extensions within those where people can take payment breaks and things like that, which I think you can only take once in the life of that loan. So some people might go, actually, let's take that right early on because we're not actually opened up yet, and it's going to help the cash flow to reopen. So there's some flexibility in those things.
Now, last time when we spoke, when I was speaking to Sarah, we just had the budget. And I know there was some corporation tax changes and some changes to the rules and the schemes there. Talk us through those.
It's obviously one of the outcomes of that budget was the government trying to plan ahead for the next couple of years that some taxes were going to have to increase. One of those was corporation tax from April 2023, so 2 years from now. And they were moving it from 19% currently up to 25%. What they have then reintroduced is kind of a small profits rate. So anyone with taxable corporation tax profits below 50,000 would still pay the 19%. And then if you have profits between 50,000 and 250,000 in a year, it would be tapered up to 25%. So effectively, a lot of smaller businesses may be protected, or at least the impact minimized against them. And obviously, more profitable businesses would then have a bigger impact on them. So it's one of the things that people need to sort of be looking at, where they sort of sit or likely to sit on their sort of profits, and considering the cash flow implications of that. Because obviously, if people have been considering, actually, this is my corporation tax, that is gonna be, or could change depending on your circumstances in a few years' time.
Okay.
One of the other things to help with a little bit of cash flow on that from that they it brought in as well was losses normally can be carried back. If you incur a loss in 1 year, you can carry it back to profits in the previous year to reclaim some of the tax early, or you carry those losses forward. What they've done for this year and next year is that if you incur losses, you can carry those back up to 3 years to try, which then means you can get the tax rebate from tax you paid in previous years, which is all designed to try and go, actually, if people have made losses but paid tax previously, they can have a sort of cash boost now rather than having to wait to make future profits. So it's all about the government trying to help with cash flow on those businesses to sort of accelerate when they can get the relief of that.
Okay, and some changes to investment rules.
Yeah, so one of the things, I mean, it obviously depends. Like, some businesses may be struggling and it may not affect them if they don't have the resources to invest in new equipment. But companies that are, the government's, the terminology they used was this super deduction, where normally if you buy some equipment, you'll get capital allowances, which say if you bought something for a piece of equipment for £10,000, as long as you're within certain limits, you would get a £10,000 deduction off your corporation tax profits. What they were bringing in with this super deduction for 2 years up to March 23 was if you spent £10,000 on a piece of equipment, you'd get £13,000 deduction off your profits. So you would get more deduction off your profits than the cost that you've paid, which is all about trying to make it cheaper for businesses to invest in equipment, to try and get businesses to sort of invest. So it's one of those things where if businesses are looking at needing to buy equipment in the next couple of years, that could help them to make that investment decision cheaper.
Right, excellent. Okay, now we've been saying here throughout the whole of the pandemic, we've been saying about how important it is with businesses going through turmoil, with income dropping like a stone, with delays to expenses and bills and things. It's all about managing your systems, isn't it? And it, how have you found it for your clients? Are there those who've failed and those who've succeeded? And what are the hints? What are the tips from those who've succeeded in making it through this terrible time?
I mean, one of the things that's made a real big difference is those businesses where they're able to, you know, it's taken advantage of the sort of the cloud systems that are out there to be able to manage the finances better. So we try and get most of our small businesses to be using Xero, trying to encourage them to make sure that they get all of that financial data up to date using the the advantages of automations that are out there to make this sort of thing a lot more simpler. Because if you can get that data, that financial data up to date, it's far easier to be able to make decisions on what to do next or what's happening. So that there's, you know, there's companies that we sort of speak with regularly, and by having that information up to date, it's a lot easier to suddenly start going, actually, do you need to take out a loan? Like, we've had some people who were looking at it and going, actually, the turnover had dropped off and they had some tax liability still to pay. They might have been able to defer those, but actually they hadn't taken out a bounce back loan at that point. Actually, a bounce back loan might have helped to give them a little bit of breathing space to move forwards. But it was only by having the data there and the information to be able to sort of look at things. Otherwise, you're kind of making decisions in the dark, which, if you're doing that, you're not necessarily going to make the best decisions or the most informed decisions. So a lot of it is all about we're trying to work with businesses to make sure that they've got live, up-to-date financial data and work with them to sort of understand what are the impacts of that, and then sort of trying to look forward to then sort of think, actually, what could happen? What decisions do you need to make going forwards, either with your cash flow or, say, with opening up and things like that?
Excellent. So it's been a good thing to have had in place. If you haven't got it in place, it's a good thing to think about going forward, because it's still a rocky road, isn't it? Yeah, there is, as they keep telling us, light at the end of the tunnel, but it could be an oncoming train, as always, couldn't it? Or it could just be that we are getting better. So good to have those automations in place.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's one of those bits, especially, you know, it's good to have anyway, but especially during times of uncertainty, to be able to have your data able to sort of, you know, discuss with your advisors and things like that, means that you can actually get a better handle on your business and actually understand where you need to get to.
Fantastic. Alex, always good to talk to you. Always good to get some sound advice. Thanks very much indeed for coming on today.
Thank you very much.